Hello, everybody. Man, thank you for everyone to taking the time to listen to this milestone of episode 150 of the Leon LeGray podcast. Well, I wouldn't say a huge milestone, but you know, I can't believe it's gone. I've pretty much gone a long way to reaching this this far from 150 episode. So, what, we still got a long way to go, all the way to 200, but I will make it there some point. That is, and from there on, I will want to say to anybody who's listening, thank you so much for taking time to listen. And I would love for everyone that is listening right now, please put in a iTunes review, Podchaser's review for validation. And even if you guys don't give me a full 5-star review, I like your honest reviews of what you think about the show. Do you guys want me to improve? What things do you want me to improve on the podcast? What things you want me to bring in for the week that I missed? Whatever, you know? This is a one-man show. I don't have a big team of people. So this is recorded and edited by me alone. And so to me, if I'm going to make it, I love for anyone that can do anything to support me, whether if it's sponsorships or anything that you can do to help me out throughout these times too. And if you think the show is great, awesome. That'll be perfect as well. Anyways, let's get on to the episode I've just recorded on Friday. And thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Take care. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Leon back here with episode 150 of the podcast. And it's actually quite of a milestone that we're on right now too. Just going through and making a brand new podcast about the good, the bad, and the ugly about technology and anything else. And I'm happy to get down with another episode on today on 150 of the Leon LeGray podcast. So hope you're having a good day. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and skip the sponsorship today and get on with the two stories I'm going to be talking about here in this quick segment, quick podcast episode, I would call it, for 150, which I think is going to be really important, and some things have gone to my attention. I wanted to report the here, the now, and then before we get into 151 of the next podcast, because I think there are so many things I definitely want to say coming up on the Leon LeGray podcast, which I wanted to talk about and make sure I put my thoughts about it too, with whenever that comes to mind and comes to play, which it's something that's going to be very, very good to bring it all down as well, which I think could just be very, very nice. So, and with that further ado, I wanted to talk about a few things: chip shortages and the Amazon One. What did I think about this? Now, heading to our very first story. So for the first episode I want to definitely talk about, which it still has come to mind. In fact, a lot of people have talked about the whole story of the chip shortages that's been going on, and which I've talked about on the last episode. And this is not going to go away, folks. And the whole thing with everything that's been going on with the chip shortages affecting electronics and vehicles, it's starting to become more of a big week, big thing every single week. Of course, I mean, we've gone through talking about computer shortages. I did mention about vehicle shortages, which is starting to affect things like if you're a driver looking for a vehicle, or it could be just that you're looking for a chip that's going to work for your 2021 vehicle. It seems like that really looks like it's going to need chips for some, or whatever reason it may be. Because I always thought those chips, most of the time, chips are supposed to run on electronics more so than vehicles. But I guess that's how there's some chips being involved with some vehicles. Though I'm not too sure, because I'm not a car guy myself, so I can't really say how that's all comes together right there too, but looks like it is affecting vehicles in some way or another, of course. So some way or another. In fact, there's been a story on Ford, right? So the car manufacturing on Ford. And here on this article, it says chip shortages forces Ford to build trucks without computers. So in, okay, so that's, so I see now. So it looks like that's pretty much all part of it right there too. Though I can't read this because of the whole advertisement in front of me. So that's in a way, I guess if you are using your car to listen to music or why not, then I guess that's just for you. Or if you're just listening to podcasts on the road, then whoop-de-doo on you, of course. But if you're just depending on your car for electronic driving, for you're just using it for electronics, then yes, I could see why it could be a crisis for the car industry, one form or the other too, because you know I always known that that's always going to be a big deal for mostly computers, but not on the automobile side too, because I always figured that you have the engines, oil that rely, or which vehicle most vehicles rely on, gas and oil, not chips to run on automatically. Because cars don't run on its own except for the human operator, from the last thing I've heard. So that was the one thing I've heard since this vehicle, this I wouldn't say vehicle shortage, we don't have a vehicle shortage, mostly a chip shortage as of right now, that pretty much a lot of the manufacturers up in Asia can't really provide because of the whole disruption of the economy. And this is one thing I've always said, is that this isn't the pandemic that's hurting businesses and what people are thinking. No, it's pretty much economic disruption that's going to hurt a lot more people than anything else, folks. And it's really what it comes down to as well. And plus, if you are, and I've always said that if you are starting in computing, or starting to build your own computer for the first time, or whatever it may be, to me, 2021 is definitely bringing in a very, very difficult year for people that are trying to purchase computers, whether you're working at home or look at some way or the other to find what to do or find a computer store. And I have to tell you, folks, that I know that the American brick and mortar store for computers, Best Buy, I know that's going to be a store that may no longer be around, which I've heard from others, somewhere in the interwebs, that now this computer store, in fact, they're actually laying off people, letting go people left and right. Though, I've heard this from a video somewhere, not YouTube, but probably on Library Odyssey, that's now pretty much somewhere in the secret ends of the internet that are saying that they're letting go people, and what is taking over human customer service? Well, obviously it's computers, things that people are, that's one of the things that people are afraid of, very most afraid to have these computing operators or AI operators to do. So that's one of the things I've I do worry the most, because I wouldn't say I worry about it a lot, but that's where I find that if you let go of people, you find out where does this all end. You know, how can people find jobs that will bring people productivity? And I get that many people aren't going to be happy with the situation, and it's going to suck. It is very, very much going to suck, and it's not something I really like what's happening. I think it's very much a terrible thing to for any individual to lose jobs. But Best Buy has been around for a very long time, and I would hate to see a brick and mortar like that to go out of business. And because the thing about it is, like, nobody wants to come into a store and not see a human operator or a human employee, and if all they see is just a robot function, just operating the store, like they do stock, they do cashiering or whatever, right? Or if they do is the operation management of a store. And that's one thing I think we're definitely seeing a lot with a lot of things going around in the tech world, which is the replacement. And it's becoming more and more common now, because I've been seeing this a lot. And I know a lot of people are not too happy about it. In fact, I've talked with people that, even with this pandemic, you know, I know that people are actually kind of praising this whole thing, even though I don't like pandemics. In fact, I don't think I even call this a pandemic, because if this was a pandemic, I think we would have seen actual statistics about people dying left and right, right? And it just doesn't convince me one form of the other. You know, I've talked with people, in fact, a friend of mine, we've had a discussion about it, we've had debates on it, and here's the thing, I won't get into the whole pandemic situation, and people are going to find it really hard that once they spend all the stimulus money, they're going to take a big, big, big hurdle that what's going to come. It's not going to be the pandemic that's going to hurt the economy. It's definitely going to be the overinflation, overspending of government spending that's going to hurt a lot of people. And I think that's what I've said in the past, that the technocracy, it's going to be spreading more year after year after year. And I know a lot of people are a lot of skeptic. People are like, oh, you know, this is just a change. This is what we're seeing right there too. You know, and people are like, you know, you just got to face it. You know, this is the era that we live in. You know, this is just the times, man. You know, what if people don't want to go through this new normality bullshit? You know, this is the thing I find very awful. And people staying in their own countries but not exploring others, right? And that's where I find it difficult for me to do that. In fact, I left touring parts of Berlin 2 years ago. Almost 2 years ago. And I remember traveling. And I said, you know, isn't it just amazing to go out and spend time outside your country and not be locked up with in a first world, which I'm going to say, frankly, a first world shithole that you've actually, you hear all these problems in most of your time over there, and not go through it too. And this is where I think a lot of the things are absolutely changing fundamentally with our society. And by the time you let every single part of technology be every aspect of your life, I think that does become very dangerous. Though I think there are some things that does some benefit, of course, making things easy. And that's why I do support technology in plenty of aspects that will make certain things easy enough to do that too. And I know there's been things, especially trying to take rid of the wallet, taking rid of physical things, you know. And to me, I don't mind carrying actually a physical wallet. And, you know, we do lose stuff here and there too. But at the end of the day, we have to keep responsibility, what we have to do, what we have to keep for sure. And that's where the problem lies right there too. And I think in my own very own opinion is here's the thing. You do have to have physical stores. And look, there are actually physical stores that we do have to have, and especially computers around. And if you can't, and first of all, let's just say that you cannot wait for a headset to come in 2 days. And let's say if you're working or being employed by home, And let's just say, for instance, that the boss or whoever you're going to be working with, or your employer, whatever, they say, hey, we need you to get that headset, your headset, all your equipment within this week, right? Or within next, or within less than 2 weeks. Can you do that for me? And if you said yes, and to this employee or employer, then you have to get those things ahead in advance. And let's say you make the purchase online, let's say on Amazon, right? And I'm sure that Amazon or anything else are always going to have shipping delays. And let's say they don't arrive on time. And what happens if they just come, let's say, 5 days late, right, during shipping? And what happens if you can't get it on time and but have no choice but to get it in store? So there's the problem right there too. You have to have physical stores that they may not that may have it available yet there in store, but cannot cannot wait any longer because you have to get ready for a new online job or whatever it may be, right? Because I know that's now becoming the norm with customer representatives, and because the fact of the matter is that you still have to have humans regularly. And having to do all functions, like taking care of customers, their information, why not too? Or helping customers doing tech support on the phone, whatever it may be. So that's one of the things I see with this whole societal change. And that's where it's all comes down to too. So this is where we're definitely coming down. And I definitely know, one thing is, well, I did... I've been very much sidetracked from the whole chip shortage story going down from here. But what was I? Yeah, the chip shortage stuff. So, like I was saying, I remember one day last week, I've walked in Best Buy, and what do you know? I go to the computer aisle for like DIY computer building, and the only thing they had for the Ryzen series was Ryzen 7 series, I believe it's like 3700 that they have available. That only one they had available. They didn't have Ryzen 3, Ryzen 5, and that was all that they had in their shelves. And the rest, it was like an Intel Core 5, 7, and 9 available. And yet, people weren't buying that. People were buying Ryzen chips over Intel. So, you know, and that's quite crazy to see all that. And it was funny because I have to say, thankfully, I was glad that I made the purchase a year before this, knowing that we were going to have a disruption, and knowing that if things come to shove, you don't want to start fighting over or start looking or anything like a madman or mad woman looking for a chip or processor and all that stuff too. Because right now I've always said that it's best to be prepared for what's to come. Because if you're not prepared what's to come, you're going to lose out on the fundamentals on electronics. And if you're not prepared to store any value, and to me, what I've discovered when I sold fans on eBay is that electronics, like processors, power supplies, M.2, which is a very big, it's a new thing, M.2 SSD, which is actually now faster than the regular SSDs. And I'll tell you my experience with M.2's memory sticks, where you just install it right inside the motherboard, then having a separate SSD, which is great. Actually, I like that too. I like the internal memories over the external ones, which is very awesome. But it's always good to have external SSDs. Of course, you cannot have an external SSD for sure. So it's always best to have something external too. So not to excuse that out, but having to have but anyways, where was I? Yeah. So pretty much having motherboards, which is a very huge deal now. Graphics cards were, as of now, have been sold out for now weeks, and it's been now several weeks right now too. So because of the whole mining demand of mining, and a lot of people are just buying graphics card left to right, and you know that you're gonna miss out a whole lot. And this is the problem I find with people: if you don't act on something, you will lose out on anything. And it's just like, for instance, like I remember during the start of this whole pandemic crap, I remember I go inside a grocery store, right? And what do you know? The eggs were the eggs were almost empty. The milk shelves were empty, and everything else was pretty much empty. And it's crazy because there was just so much panic. And to me, I almost felt that almost the same way with other people, is that with people not game prepared for themselves. And I felt that was one of the things a lot of people are not getting ready to prepare and stack up too. And I've always said that if you happen to need another, let's say a computer fan or an extra graphics card for any particular reason, if one starts to comp out on you or anything like that too, for anything else, the bottom line of all this, it's always good to have something extra on you in case push comes to shove. Because now we're like more than 3 weeks out of stock graphics card, which is now, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's a mess too. And I just, like I've said, I still support physical stores. Like for me, like if you can't find anything online, then you happen to need to have a store that they have available right off the spot. And that sure is damn well the truth if you think that relying on online is going to be something long term. Because in fact is that you have to have a physical store in case if they had a couple of them left. And that was one thing I have to say, that I'm against having everything electronically and having to get rid of stores. Because you need to have stores. In fact, you have to have stores for shopping. You have to have stores for this and that. And having everything online, it's just, no, I don't think it's realistic, personally and honestly. And I'll get into that in a moment. And so just to end the whole shortage story and what was I gonna get, things I had in my mind are about this too. So anyways, just to end the context of the story. And what I was just saying is that, so bottom line of the whole Ford thing too, like here's, I would say is that to me, if I was operating a vehicle like Ford, right? To me, I really don't need a chip operating a car at this time, because you're going to need at least a gas fuel car for certain things that you'll need. In fact, gas is going to be very much an importance. So you gotta put into play is that if you rely on electronics or electrical hybrid cars, and let's just say if you can't get into the nearest charging station, that's a big issue. You know, you cannot find it, and so you would have to go out and find one that is available. And let's say if you have tons of gas stations that are, tons of them are available everywhere, of course. And if you have all that, then why would you really need a chip powered vehicle? That doesn't really make sense, honestly. And I know a lot of vehicles are going to be changing and adapting to the charging stations. And though part of me, it's like, yeah, that's okay. That's okay. And I think it's great. But at the same rate is that if you don't have many charging stations around your area, then what's the point of having a charging station if you're not going to use it to the hybrid mode? And instead, you have no choice but to use gasoline. So, and it's like this. I live in the States. and I see tons of gas stations all the time, tons of them. And I barely even see a charging station around my area. Absolutely no fucking way. So, and it's like, it's odd to even have that in the first place. Why? So, and it's that, and that's one of the things I find with people is that you use, if you think the hybrid is going to help you, that's one thing is that you got to think twice before getting a chip powered vehicle. Just make sure and be careful about that too. So the bottom line of the story is that make sure you have a backup plan. Because having everything wholly electronic, it's going to be very dangerous long term for you and to do all that too. And I find that with people using or having the stimulus it's not just the United States. People are taking stimulus everywhere from all countries because they're feeling very bad for the average person. And while people will at some points they say, oh, I need the stimulus money and all that too. But I felt part of me is like a lot of people are not going to use it. It's very, very good for even people to go and use the stimmy and just and spend it responsibly. Because at the end of the day, it's going to hurt a lot of people. Whether you know it or not, or you, the listener, know it, I think a lot of people are just going to use it up for useless electronics, like a 4K television, which is not highly supported all over the place, which I'm thinking, why would you want a 4K television? Instead, how about get yourself a working station and use that portion of it for a desktop computer if you think you don't want to go out and if you think you yourself are being afraid of having to travel elsewhere and thinking that if your plans are I don't want to get hurt with the COVID-19, which I highly doubt that you're going to get hurt with this virus. In fact, this is a better chance recovering from the COVID from COVID-19 over the flu, which in fact it's a 99.5% chance of recovery rate. It's the most highest recovery rate, and nobody's even talking about this too, which I find really ridiculous too. But if you're thinking like the rest of the herd that I have to stay home and work, by all means, I think using the stimulus money is the best way to do it and best way to spend it on right there, and especially including food, gas, and anything that's going to be important to you down the road right there too. Though, if you're one of the people that spend it on a smartphone, then you lost me. You fucking lost me. Absolutely. It's not the smartest decision to get like a $1,000 iPhone 12, but I think you will end up losing yourself if you think that spending $1,000 was the wisest investment decision, which to me, you've not made the smartest decision. I say that go ahead and spend on the working computer, get yourself employed. If you think if you thought the smartphone was a better decision, you're wrong. So, okay. The last story I wanted to go ahead and talk about, which I think this is actually a big privacy story I wanted to talk about. In fact, no one's actually talked about the whole Amazon One concept, which I've heard a bit about Amazon One from somebody, and I'll give you my thoughts about it right now. Letting you know about Amazon One, and I'll get into that discussion at some point too. In fact, I've heard about this from a content creator that was actually pretty much against the idea about having everything all at one, palm readers from electronic machines, so on and so forth, right? And so we are pretty much in this whole electronic age. There's, like I've always said, about the question about how will this affect us and will this affect the privacy for this coming age right there. And here I am reading over through PC magazine. PC magazine, which in their title reads here, Amazon One contactless identity system expands to more stores. So a lot of stores are getting into the palm reading And for anyone that's a person that is looking at this and saying, what does that even mean? So I'll just give you explanation about what's all this too. So just to give you a bit of Amazon One is a contactless identity system, pretty much for your palm, right? So basically what it is you go to a store, right? That accepts like Amazon One. It's a contactless identity system where your palm is pretty much your payment system, connected to things all at one. And so that's been an announcement for some time around, which the article was released back in the 9th of March. And here we are. And as this article tells right here, is that in September of last year, Amazon rolled out a new way to identify yourself and pay for good at a select few of its retail sales in Seattle. Now that contactless technology is being rolled out to more locations. It's called Amazon One. It replaces the need to pull out a smartphone or a payment card by instead simply scanning your palm at the door after signing up using a credit card or mobile number. Amazon scans your palm and creates a biometric stamp unique palm signature that links it with the card details. Once registered, any store supporting Amazon One can be used simply by presenting your palm on entry with no physical contact requirement. Okay. All right. Well, here we go on this. This will show that there are more red flags on this than anything else. I find this very disturbing. Like, the whole thing shows very much like Minority Report. Oh boy. This is very, very much some futuristic, very like something I've seen in the movies like Minority Report or Blade Runner. Though I don't remember a scene on Blade Runner that any scene from that time and point that I've seen someone the main character going to a main store with their palms paint for anything. Though it just feels very much a futuristic dystopian. I would never imagine this would ever happen, but this is really a special case of dystopian. I would not get near. It's really I think the whole whole thing is absolutely absurd. And the fact is that you cannot contact with anything. You cannot use a phone, and to me, after all this time, we've been using smartphones, credit cards, and everything, all of the above, but not having to use anything contact or anything physical as of now. And to me, and they're saying that this is all for the safety. And I'll put it this way. This is something I really don't support at all too, but my God, like, and this is where I think a lot of people are just throwing this out. It's like, oh, you know, you are contributing everything that you're spending on through Amazon. You know, they have to make the technologies. This is the thing. I stopped spending things on Amazon a long, long time ago. I absolutely do. I think this is pretty much a totalitarian gateway. And plus, your palm is pretty much like your identity. And you know who uses palm readers, and it pretty much are tons, pretty much people from the feds, the FBI, and it's all scanned. And then also your palm just definitely shows the identity to anything. Because once anything technological comes and scans your palms, and pretty much you're pretty much tracked and traced everywhere. That's the one thing I find about this. A most scariest dystopian. Why would I ever think that this is going to be a good idea long term, and knowing that you'll end up getting yourself tracked and traced? Yeah, not the best way I want to use some sort of technology. Plus, I've actually used a I will admit that I've used the contactless pay, like with Apple Pay. I think it's not bad. Yeah, I mean, sure, you there's something you have to touch physically when you're doing contactless pay. You just bump on the register and ding, you're all done right here too. But it's like you're giving more power to those technocrats more and more. And here it is. I'm will say this. I find this to be a bad thing over the good thing. And it's just like you're giving way too much information to one company. And Amazon, I find that they have become much more powerful, but not in a good way powerful, but and powerful enough that they have everything about you. And a lot of people are going to just brush it off and say, you know, this is crazy talk. How can you say that? You know, and I think people are not seeing the brighter picture. And having to go to a physical store without touching anything, it's like, what's the point? You know, and that's the thing about palms is that, like I've said already, palms, a lot of palms are actually scanned by officers. And if you think that this is a good idea to have your palm, pretty much your palm is pretty much your whole physical identity of your body. And a lot of people don't understand that you're giving a lot away, especially if you, let's say for anything, if you get arrested, right? They pretty much have everything about you. They really do. And before we continue on, let's continue on this article here, which says thousands of customers of our Seattle area Amazon stores have signed up to use Amazon One and are providing us with great feedback on the experience. Great feedback, sure. From how quick it is to how they approach is contactless nature, we've excited to continue rapidly expanding Amazon One as an option in even more of our stores in the Seattle area. Oh, good luck having to throw your identity away for sure. Today, we've added it as an option for our Amazon 4-star store in Linwood at Outerwood Mall, and in the coming weeks, I'll be added to 3 additional locations in the area, including Amazon Books at Bellevue Square. Okay, let's hold up for just a minute too. And so this is kind of weird. I'm reading. So they're gonna add this right on malls. While the majority of people, even I myself, I haven't been to a mall. Gosh, what was the last time I've ever been to a mall? It's been ages for sure, and I haven't been to a mall since. So that's been a long time. But I don't know who's gonna go out to a mall and try this. Probably just like the article says, probably just a few thousands. But again, I don't know who's gonna go out and start spending for Amazon books, Amazon clothes, or whatever Amazon products it may be, right? For whatever reason that comes down to, too, I don't know if the majority or the millions of people are going to find this very attractive enough that it's going to be quite a discussion or a game changer for people. Though, I will say that it is optional, so you guys out there don't have to pretty much use it, but I just think the whole Amazon One feature, the old Amazon One feature is just another gateway for infringement. So that's just me on the other hand too. But looking else right there too, I find that to be dangerous and having put everything all at Amazon's hands. So please be aware what you put into, because there's no point of return. Because I know I wouldn't even want to use that thing at all too. So just saying people. Ooh. So anyways, what do you guys think about the whole Amazon One? If you're a guinea pig to use this, let me know. I'd love to hear your take on it too, because I think a lot of things in our future is just changing, and not changing for the good, of course. And I do see myself pretty much what I am seeing right here with the long term is probably like a fun events to go to, like convention centers, concert events. Concert events is going to be hitting the people a lot harder for sure. And let's just say if you want to see like instance for like Guns N' Roses, whatever, too, the health pass right here, it does show much more of an infringement right there too. But who's going to be making the money? A lot of the health people that are running the health system, which is absolutely the truth right there too. So look at it this way. The health system, it definitely wants a piece of you more and more so. So that tells a lot about you. If you're going to give more so away to everyone else too. But I think within the next episode, I will talk about health identification and the long term, which I would love to talk about next episode, including more ideas I wanted to say next up going forward. But with that said, I've rambled way too much, so we'll go ahead and bring this more on the next episode from here. Thanks for coming in and taking a quick listen of the Leon LeGray Podcast episode 150. You have a great rest of your day. Ciao for now.